Grace to you and peace, friends, from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, our Messiah. Amen. Our gospel lesson today from Mark, I believe, is one of the most wonderful stories in our scripture, because I think what it does is give us a narrative that we can use as we consider our lives of faith and what it means to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it, because it walks us through kind of what in this one story, what our lives are like as we come to faith in Christ. Now take a few moments right now to think about in your own life where and how you first heard about Jesus. Where you first heard and learned about Jesus. Now, I would imagine for many of us, that was our families. But is there anyone who would like to share that says, no, it really wasn't within my family. It was somewhere else. From other folks, from other people. Whatever it is that beginning point in your life where you started to think about following Jesus, I would imagine that it was a time and a place in your life, regardless of whether you grew up in the faith or it came to you later on, where you kind of made a choice. Now, as Lutherans, we don't like to talk about making decisions for Jesus. Have you ever had someone come up to you and say, when were you saved? You know what my standard answer is? In A.D. 33, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. No. When were you saved? Yeah, back then, when Jesus did his thing in the empty tomb. Or sometimes I will say, April 4th, 1971. They're like, wow, you don't look that old. And I'm like, well, that was when I was baptized as a three-month-old. So sometimes we like, as Lutherans, to put the emphasis on God's activity instead of ours. That we don't save ourselves, that Jesus saves us. Amen? Amen? That is who we are as Lutherans. So now that Pastor Dave, the staunch Lutheran, is getting ready to talk about decision, I want you to understand it's in the context of understanding who we are as Lutherans. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about those moments in your life when you choose to follow Jesus. Okay? And those moments are there for all of us, regardless of how we came to the faith. We make a choice to say, you know what, this is the narrative with which I will live my life. This is the narrative in which I will see the rest of the world. This is the narrative, this is the promise that I will claim for my life and the life of those whom I influence. And that is what has happened at the beginning of our lesson today. You see, these disciples have decided to follow Jesus. And so Jesus says to them, and it says to you in your life when you're living with Jesus, he said, let us go across to the other side. So it starts a journey. A journey that you make with Christ. A journey of you reaching to a hand that has already come near. And as you do this, you will be then led on a path. A path that will go many different ways. But this story leads you out to a sea. Now it's interesting that this sea that they go across to the other side, let us go across to the other side, that one of the things that you need to know is that this was a boundary between two different countries. So sometimes when you follow Jesus, in fact, I would say when you do follow Jesus, you are crossing over into something that might be foreign to you. You know, loving your enemy, loving those who are different from you, or forgiving those who have hurt you deeply, or promising to sacrifice yourself for the benefit of other people. Those are all things that don't necessarily always come with in our human nature. But we follow, and we go with Jesus, and then we see that a storm arises. Now, I've heard people say that, you know, my life was horrible and then I found Jesus and it got better. And I believe that's true. But I also think that also what's true is what I heard at a national youth gathering several years ago by a preacher named Shane Claiborne, who said that he never got arrested and he never got in trouble in his life until he started following Jesus. His work on behalf of the poor and the homeless has put him in situations where he has been an agitator and he has been incarcerated at times for the things that he did. But he says he does that purely because he stands up for those who are on the margins and on the edge of society. And by doing so, by following what he believes Jesus is calling him to do, it brought him into storms. And I would dare say that that's the same for us in our lives, albeit it may not ever have anything to do with something like that. But it could indeed be a storm that seems like it's overtaking our life. When you seek to follow Jesus, you can be led into places that are bumpy and that are unfortunate, that are maddening, that are frustrating, and that can seem to break you. You see, following Christ doesn't give us a free pass, a get-out-of-jail-free card for the pain of the world. No, in reality, if the cross is any indication, it may lead us toward more. I've often struggled in my faith when I was extremely comfortable. I don't know about you guys, but I like comfort. I love being comfortable. I love having everything in control. I love being able to know what's happening next. I love to be able to center in on myself. I don't know if you guys are probably not at all like me, but that's how I am. And I have to live with this constant paradox of seeking to follow Jesus, even though all I want is to be comfortable. And so the disciples are going with Jesus, and this storm arises. And now what's interesting is these were fishermen. I'm assuming they were in a sailboat, although as I was talking with Pastor Heidi about the text yesterday, we were doing some, that's the best thing about being married to a preacher, is that we can just sit there and talk about it. And, you know, I don't know how many great ideas that I have shared with all of you and pretended they're mine and they're really hers. And I'm sure she's done the same. It's kind of a thing we have as spouses. It's fine. But the reality is, we weren't sure if the boat was a sailboat or not. But I'm going to suggest it was. And these were fishermen who knew what they were doing. So they were on a journey doing the things that they know what to do. Kind of like we do. Maybe we decide we're going to follow Jesus and we're going to do the things that we want to do and do them well. And that's awesome and that's beautiful and that's vocation and that's what it's about. But that still does not mean that storms won't arise. And this storm arises that you would think they would know how to handle, but it was just so much that they became afraid. And they became frustrated with Jesus. And that is our life too. We follow him. We have a sense of engagement. We see, this is the narrative I want for my life. I'm going to follow this Christ and I'm going to follow Jesus. But then it leads to a storm. And even though I think I can handle the storm, I can't finally. And then at that point, I start getting mad at God. And that's okay. That's okay. That's okay to be mad at God. As a matter of fact, I didn't see in anywhere in here where Jesus told them not to do that. Right? Did Jesus immediately stand up and say, "How dare you question me? I am the Lord of the storm and the sea and the rain. How dare you question me?" But no. But often we can feel that Jesus, that God is asleep in our lives. I know I've felt that. I've wondered. in a particularly difficult moment in my life where I was certain God was not near. I was complaining and I was arguing and I was frustrated and I was talking to my wife, and at some point her response to me was simply, "David, don't you believe in God?" And at that point, I had the question, what is it that I believe and trust? I believe that was like the disciples. "Do you not care that we are perishing, Jesus? Do you not care that my spouse is dying? Do you not care that my child is addicted? Do you not care that my marriage is crumbling? Do you not care that I lost my job? Do you not care about what's going on in our world that's breaking our hearts? Do you not care that we are perishing?" That is the disciples' query. And it is ours. And notice what Jesus does. He wakes up. He doesn't immediately challenge them. He takes care of the storm. And he said, "Peace, be still." And there was, it said, a dead calm. Bruce, are you here? Bruce, this is why I think it's a sailboat. What is not good for a sailboat? A dead calm. Now, what that does is stills the storm, but then suddenly they can't go anywhere, can they? They can't go anywhere. Well, if they have oars. We're not told they have oars, right? So we're just not going to assume they have oars. Okay? But what I think is happening here is Jesus is reminding them and us that, A, number one, to remember always that even in the midst of our storms, guess what? Jesus is there. That Jesus wasn't away from them. We think Jesus is not around, that Jesus is not paying attention to us, but Jesus was with them in the boat. Just as Jesus is with you in the midst of whatever storm you are going through right now, Jesus is there with you. He is there, and he is confident that he's got this. Why else would he be asleep? And then, when he wakes up and stills the storm, he reminds us, yet again, that in our lives, truly, the movement of our lives, the things that happen in our lives, are dependent, if not wholly dependent, on the grace and mercy of God. That in this moment, the disciples, who can't go anywhere and are listening to Christ, are reminded when he says, why are you afraid and have no faith? Saying yet again, this is my promise to you. I am with you in the storm. I am over the storm, and I will lead you to safety. I will. That is my promise. Do not fear. And that becomes the lesson for our lives of discipleship every day. I don't know about my life. I'm struggling. I'm worried. But do not fear, I know that God will see me through. I'm worried about what's going on with my spouse, and I'm worried about the doctor's reports, but I know God is going to see us through no matter what. No matter what, I know that God will see us through. And when we come to know that, as the disciples did, I think it perplexes us. Who is this God that even the wind and the waves and the sea obey him? Who is this God that can actually work good news through the midst of our broken pain in our lives. Who is this God that can bring me through this tragedy, this difficult, awful situation in my life or the life of my friend, and actually bring me to the other side where there is hope and promise? Who is this God? That is the promise of discipleship and faith. That is who we are as the people of God, and that is what we seek, and that is what we share with each other every day. Reminding each other of who this God is for us. Who this God is for you. Our sister shared that she was hurting today. And we're here to remind her that God will see her and that God will see these children through. We're here to remind each other when we're struggling with a personal issue that God will see us through. Because if we don't believe that, if we don't trust that, even amidst evidence to the contrary, then what are we doing? But we have enough evidence in each other and in our own lives to know that ours is the God who sees us through every storm. If you're going through a storm right now, I invite you to trust that God will see you through. There is hope on the other side. If you have gone through a storm in the past and been seen through that, share that with another so that they can have that hope too. If you don't have any storms in your life right now, I just say, thanks be to God. But when a storm does arrive in your life, brother or sister, I invite you to come and find us so that we can remind you yet again of the God who will see you through that storm. Because storms are part and partial to following the journey with Jesus. But no storm is bigger than God. And God will see you through. In Jesus' name, amen.